You're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. Stand by for This Just In, the latest in healthcare innovation and technology trends with your HIT advisor, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advances in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 160th episode, we have a special show dedicated to the HIMSS-19 conference that just concluded a few days ago. I'll have a good friend and special guest join our broadcast to share his insights and what he felt were many of the key points of the conference. We are fortunate again to broadcast the This Just In radio show again live from the HIMSS annual conference floor in Orlando. We had a great slate of CEO, CIO, leading care providers, industry thought leaders, riveting authors, and certainly policymakers joining the show. And all of those interviews will be posted here shortly across all of our networks. So without further ado, let's dive into today's show. Welcome our guest, Ben Wilson from Juul. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Justin. Glad to be back. Yeah. You know, I'm a long-time listener, but I'm no longer a first-time caller. So
exactly.
So I'm happy to be back. How many shows have I been on?
Oh boy, at least five, six maybe.
Yeah, five. Maybe six.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Great to have you back. We always have a great rapport. We've been friends for, I don't even know, 13, 14 years now, dating back to your Intel days. But even over the past several years, you've been a great friend of the show. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, we built some great things together. We did the Accountable Care Practice, Accountable Community Care Practice, yeah. And then we did the Mobile Health Consortium. So I feel very proud of those accomplishments, along with the partnerships we did between Greenway and Intel. And so it's been the two of us have done a lot of fun things together, including your show.
Yeah. And actually a friend of mine, one of my branding companies that I work with says, I use the term, we ran a lot of fence line together. And that's certainly you and I have run a lot of fence line together over the last 13, 14 years. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And looking forward to the future.
No, same here. And
we're not dead yet.
Thankfully, no. Very true. One piece that you actually do, which I love, is you're always would come onto the show and do a wrap up for me and really join me. But usually we only have, 8 to 10 minutes to do this. But today's show, we're going to spend a good, 25, 26 minutes doing a wrap up. So I'm really excited for the show. You'd always come on and give me the latest and greatest from the show floor. I'm always busy on stage doing the radio show, but you at the time, you actually navigate a majority of the conference and then come on to my show and really talk about what you're seeing out there, what you're hearing, kind of the vibe from the show floor. So that's what we'll jump into here in a moment. But you're always an awesome guest. So thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I've enjoyed being your Cub reporter, reporting from the floor live. And getting to be on the live show there at HIMSS. So unfortunately, I had scheduling conflicts and couldn't make it for your live show. But I like this more relaxed format, getting a chance to really get into depth on some issues. So it'll be great.
So true. So true. So let's talk about that before we dive into the HIMSS-19 wrap-up show. You're now Senior Director, Enterprise Markets for Juul. So tell me about that. That sounds like a really cool role, but tell me about it. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So, when Juul first called me, I knew them as the e-cigarettes vaping company and knew about some of the dark headlines that they'd had about youth adoption and thought, why would they want someone like me? And, I spent my whole career at the intersection of healthcare and technology. And, but the more I learned about the company, the more excited I was about joining, and I did eventually join at the last part of October of last year. And, Juul's mission is to improve the lives of the world's 1 billion adult smokers by switching them off of combustible cigarettes. I think we all know that combustible cigarettes, the Public Health of England has said they are 95% more, or the e-cigarettes are 95% less harmful than combustible cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And we have about $1 trillion a year in tobacco-related healthcare costs globally. It's about 15% of our healthcare costs. It impacts the quality of lives of millions of people. There's secondhand smoke. So, you know, we're really taking on a big mission. And, you know, although the, you know, 5% of the world's smokers are in the U.S., obviously most of them are outside the U.S., so we're expanding quickly. And so my role is we're building out the enterprise markets division. It's sort of the B2B division of Juul. Up until now, all of our sales have been direct to consumer. And we're working with large employers, with providers, with payers to build switching programs to switch people away from combustible cigarettes. And we've seen a lot of interest in the market. It's a way for us to focus on adult smokers, and it's a way to help organizations to have fewer and fewer of their people smoking combustible cigarettes. So I see it as, you know, the biggest opportunity I've had in my career to have an impact on public health globally. And we've announced this year we're going to have a Bluetooth enabled device that will allow you to titrate the amount of nicotine that you're consuming. You'll be able to track it, you'll be able to share it with other people, providers, what have you. So that may soon be one of the largest digital health platforms in the world. So we're just really excited about what we can accomplish and looking forward to the future.
Wow. Exciting, my friend, and congratulations. And I saw the interest that that people at HIMSS, some of the big C-suites that were taking attention to you and Juul. So congratulations on that. And I certainly look forward to doing some future shows to learn more. I know that my audience would love to learn more, and I certainly would, certainly as you dive into the public health side. So fantastic.
Excellent. Happy to do it.
So we and I talked about this offline a little bit. We talked about this in Orlando, figuring HIMSS 20 would be back in Las Vegas because it bounces from Orlando to Vegas back to Orlando. And when I did a little bit of research just here recently, we are back in Orlando next March. So I'm not quite sure how I feel about that because I love Las Vegas. What are your thoughts, my friend?
I know exactly how I feel about it, and I don't like it at all. I love Las Vegas. Well, one thing, I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, so it's a 2-hour plane ride. It's the same time zone, so that makes it, things a lot easier, you know, for me personally and for the people I work with. Two, the restaurants and entertainment in Vegas are far superior to Orlando. If you wanted to take your family somewhere, Orlando might be a good place, but I would never take my family to HIMSS. So,
too busy.
That doesn't work for me. And everything is so far away, you can't walk to anything in Orlando. So whereas Vegas, you know, if you're staying at the Venetian, if it's at the Venetian, you stay at the Venetian, the Palazzo, there's tons of great rooms, suites, everyone gets a suite. And, you know, I just think the accommodations are way superior. And I don't know why they're choosing that. I do get that probably the vast majority of the people who attend do come from the East Coast. So that may have something to do with it, or maybe there were some scheduling issues in Vegas. But I am not happy with that change.
Yeah, I have to agree. For everything you
was I clear?
crystal clear.
Okay, good.
And I completely agree. There's just so much. The access to restaurants, more places to meet. Easier to walk around. You are self-contained. You're not really outdoors at all in Las Vegas for the conference, and that's what we want because we're always running between meetings and trying to get to a dinner and then try to meet more people. And I totally agree. I don't bring my family with me either. I'm those are 20-hour days, 18-hour days. You're trying to maximize the 3 or 4 days that you're there. So I completely agree, and I'm going to look into it. I'm actually going to email the HIMSS people and find out what is going on because. After HIMSS 20, I don't see future cities listed. So that's the other thing. So something may be going on with timing or finding the right cities for us as we grow. Cause we, I think we approached 43,000 in 2019, or crossed over 43,000 attendees. And so there's not many cities globally that can handle that many people. Las Vegas certainly can. Orlando certainly can. But other than that, I'm not sure, too sure of too many. Cause the other side is, well, San Francisco could handle it. New York City could handle it. The price is out. You're basically outpriced. People can't afford $350, $450 for a hotel room per night to be more centrally located, plus all the travel costs and fees. And then restaurants can't handle 100 people or 1,000 people events as easily. And so that's why we really can't do New York or Boston or San Francisco or LA anymore, because we're kind of priced out.
Yeah. So even Chicago.
Yeah, correct. Well, Chicago, the labor unions actually kind of pushed him. So their headquarters is in Chicago, but there were some real union issues the last time. I think it was 4 years ago, five years ago, it was in Chicago. They got into sideways with the unions. But I do think it's going to be back on the list moving forward. I think we just got to think about that. But nonetheless.
So how many people used to attend when we first started going to him? I think it was like, I remember numbers like 4,000 or 5,000.
Correct.
And it's amazing. It's like nine times that amount.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually started going, this is my 18th HIMSS. And I didn't go to everyone in a row. I started going to HIMSS in 1996 or 1997 was my first HIMSS. And then 96 wow. was my first HIMSS actually. And then I skipped a couple of years, but yeah, I've gone 18 years over the past 20 years. So it's been pretty significant. But when I started going, 4,000, I think, pretty sure was when I first started to go.
Which is a big thing. I think we have a similar pathway, because I think I went for the first time when I was in graduate school. I think it was in 95 or 96. And then I think since 98, I have gone almost every time.
Wow.
So we're the right people to be talking about him. So
we truly are. Very cool.
On the radio.
Exactly.
I forget I'm talking on the radio sometimes when I'm talking to you. I feel so comfortable.
I know. Thank you, my friend. Very cool. So why do you attend HIMSS? Kind of diving into the why. Why do you go each year? And why might this be your 16th, 18th year of going to HIMSS?
Well, sometimes I have to go. It's sometimes a good chunk of my career when I was at Intel, when I was at Citrix, when I was at Baby Center, Consumer Health Interactive. I basically had to go. It's the number one healthcare IT show. I mean, if you're a person that defines himself as the intersection of healthcare and technology, and you don't go to HIMSS, doesn't make much sense. So the vast majority of the time, it had to go or took my company to HIMSS because we had to be there. Because you had to be on the list, if you're not at HIMSS, it seems weird. If you're in that space, I remember a few years ago, Cerner took a year off or something like that. They realized what a mistake it was. Uh-huh. And so there's that. The other thing is, I have my healthcare IT family, and we all gather at HIMSS every year. And I get to, people that I've worked with for the last 20 plus years, show up there. And so there's a networking component of that, but also just seeing old friends and going out to dinner and, catching up with people. Then there's, the networking component of it. It's, it's where at least all the companies, all the vendors go. I think over the years, the amount of actual healthcare systems attending has sort of gone back and forth and has, for a vendor is less of the reason to be there, but more of the reason to be there is to talk with other companies, to build partnerships. And since most of my career has been around building partnerships, HIMSS has been a key place to be to do that. And so I think that's probably the major reason why I go, is because it's the place to go do business if you're in the space, and it's a very efficient way to see people, meet people, and push relationships forward.
I could not agree more. So diving into some of what you saw this year, what are a few of the healthcare and or healthcare IT trends that you saw at HIMSS 19?
So I would say the number one trend I really got excited about was voice navigation with the advent of Alexa and Siri and Google Assistant. Those tools have really taken, you know, what we used to call voice recognition to a whole new level. Which they're combining, you know, artificial intelligence with voice recognition to really be able to for your computer to understand what you're talking about and to build structured data sets around how you're talking to your computer. So a doctor who does dictation, the charge codes can be collected, the structured data in terms of the notes that he wants to take can be collected and organized and put into documents in a way that you could never do that before. And I think that has been the major barrier for integrating computers into the workflow of the clinicians, is that up until now you had to type it in or at least press the screen. And you know, my physician still sits there looking down at the computer while he talks to me and asks me if I'm still on the same medications, and it's not really a very intimate interaction. So I really think this voice, these advances in voice are really going to have an impact on the adoption of computer tools and also in AI and machine learning, and how the computer can get to know the person and sort of understand the language of that person and understand what those words mean. Because we, you know, if we say cold or influenza or whatever, we could say the same thing in so many different ways. And now computers sort of know all that and can help guide your interaction with the computer. So I think it's really exciting. Pretty soon, there won't even be a visible computer in the room, right? There'll just be people talking and the computer listening and documenting, and maybe sometimes giving some feedback for clinical decision support or what have you. So I saw that as the major innovation that I was the most excited about compared to last year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And in the evolution and the maturity of it as well. So I even had a company, the CEO of Suki, joined my radio show at HIMSS, and he does exactly the functionality you're just talking about. And when you first mentioned voice, my brain goes a couple different directions, because in my think tank, we talk a lot about voice first, but not voice only, using voice technologies on patient engagement and patient management and even patient empowerment. But then you also brought up the side where it's going to be a data collection engine, discrete data, and that's exactly what Suki does. So they'll sit on the front end of an EHR, allow a doctor to have a voice conversation with the patient, and it captures, you know, and it's not as clean as some of us manage our homes today with our voice. It's still got a, you know, the HPI, but it documents, it can take the HPI and populate the medications and populate the EHR and basically populate those components in the right structured formats, all via voice. And so that's really, to your point, that's going to really pick up documentation, help providers spend more time with the patient, not necessarily looking down, typing, or even using a tablet like you and I used to support pretty heavily back in the day. So I think you're spot on. So.
Oh, very awesome. I was really excited about it. So the second most exciting trend for me was digital therapeutics. And really this is the combination of medical devices and computing. And it's very exciting where you use in combination. Usually there's an app, there's a diagnostic tool, and there's a therapeutic tool. And so one example might be that you have a glucometer that's measuring your glucose levels. You have an app that's telling you when to measure it and telling you how you're doing and giving you feedback. But also there's an insulin providing device that tells you how much to give yourself and when to give it. And so you're sort of combining the smarts of the app with the data collection from the monitoring tools and with the therapeutic side. And that sort of combination could really take things to the next level. You could see not only around diabetes, but CHF, COPD, uh-huh. with asthma. You could see lots of different conditions being managed this way, where you can do it at home, you can do it by yourself, but you're being monitored remotely because it's being done by an app. And if the readings are out of range, if it looks like you need to go to the hospital or what have you, your providers would have the information to reach out to do an intervention. But otherwise, you're being monitored and you're being given the therapy you need on an ongoing basis in a really smart, integrated way. There was a special section of Hims just on digital therapeutics, and it seems like a lot of the medical device companies more and more are coming to Hims because they see that combination being really important.
That's an excellent observation. I saw that section, and I've seen that. I actually saw that in a company managing basically the psychology of the technology around the healthcare piece. A company called Vianova Health, it's a virtual care platform with a lot of remote monitoring, but they're doing this in the psychology, a little bit different perspective than what you just mentioned, but what you just brought up, I totally agree with you. Bringing in the therapeutics, and they're on the verge of that. But they probably say they're doing that, and they manage it with the patient and for the patient. But they bring in some of the psychology pieces as well, and it's very exciting to see the integrations here and the collaboration.
Yes.
Moving right along, so
Go ahead.
We're gonna lose a little bit. We're losing a little bit of time here. We always have a great time and lose track of it. But all great. Anything that you saw that was a little bit overhyped? Not that I want to say if there's nothing, maybe not, but anything that was overhyped or not hyped enough, in your opinion?
So what I thought for a long time is precision medicine seems to be overhyped. I mean, it has so much promise. And when you think of the concept of being able to customize medicines based on someone's DNA structure, their family history, and their health, It's so exciting. But just every year I go back to Hims and I see some of the same companies that are just crawling along, not making the progress. And I don't know if that's an issue with adoption in the clinical community or whether they're just not making the strides in terms of progress, in terms of innovation and the science. I'm not sure what the issue is, but it's been something that's been such hype for 15, 20 years. And I just don't see it being put into practice on a regular basis. You see a bunch of companies being funded, but I don't see the progress. Maybe it's invisible to me, and I just don't know about it. But I sort of doubt that.
I agree. I agree to an extent because we saw Evelyn Gallego in our think tank talk about social determinants of health, SDH or SDOH, depending upon the organization. But social determinants of health, mm-hmm. that's going to give you some structure. So we can evolve precision medicine and then get that inside of technology and innovation at a grand scale. It's happening in little pockets, but I agree it's not happening at scale. And that's kind of what we envision to be the bigger picture and that we want for healthcare to really have the societal benefits financially, health-wise and so forth. So I completely agree with you. Just for the sake of time, kind of moving a little bit into the rapid fire section because we have about 2 minutes left. Look into two and a half minutes left. Look into your crystal ball and what do you see for trends and or innovations in the rest of this year in 2020?
Well, I do think that AI and machine learning are going to continue to play a huge role. If you just think about self-driving cars and the role that that could play in healthcare, it certainly will reduce the amount of collisions and accidents and injury from driving cars. So that will have a big impact. It'll have an impact on how we transport patients. it will have an impact on surgery and clinical decision support. And I just think every year I just see more and more AI and machine learning playing a role in every aspect of computing and every aspect of healthcare and medicine. And it just doesn't seem to be stopping. So that I would give that a thumbs up. I want to do one quick thing that didn't get hyped enough.
Yeah.
Was the lack of discussion about security. Last year, we only talked about security.
Very good point.
There was all those breaches. Well, I think, you know, the technology has stepped up and there's a lot of the solutions have improved. So we've had fewer. And so that's the thing about security is that when you don't hear about it, people don't think about it. But really the fact is that the security solution companies are really doing their jobs and the CISOs and the hospital systems are doing their jobs. And so it was exciting to hear less about security this year.
No, very, very good point. Another part they brought up was about augmented intelligence. And we'll probably pick that up on another show because we're running out of time here. But the AI, artificial intelligence, but then augmented intelligence. I know Intel is doing some really big stuff. But Ben, so great to have you on the show today. And I truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. And thank you to everyone for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific to hear our latest shows. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustInRadio so you can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. You also can check out the new website that we launched at justinbarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Have a terrific week.